But take me up to the stage then. So when the mills closed down, did you get redundancy from the mills that time?
Funny story about that. I was never asked. I never asked or signed anything. That was handed to me.
I wasn't
negotiated with me at all.
Yeah. And was this...
Whatever that was, yeah. But
the letter, is it?
There was the clerk, yeah. That was it. And there was no comeback on it.
Is that because you were out sick?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
That's the most.
Is that because you were sick, so...
I was out for... I went out in 1980.
Yeah.
80 or 81. Actually, Pamela's 32. My last child was born that time.
This is great.
That's the official letter to say the mill was closed on the 5th of December,
yeah.
1981.
That's great. Right.
And who was managing the mill at that time in 1981?
Summers was the man in there,
Brian Malloy was the man.
Who was it, Tommy?
Brian Malloy.
Oh, Brian Malloy, that's right, yeah. Managing director. Yeah, but then there was another fella negotiating the redundancies.
When it went into liquidation, that man was appointed liquidator. Bernard Summers was the liquidator.
Right. And but was there any hope at all that maybe the factory could survive and keep going? I mean,
there was.
Did you try to keep it going?
They went back.
Well, there were several meetings held, I know that, but
yeah.
Failed,
yeah.
Yeah.
There was no hope, no.
Were you sorry to see it going?
I was. Even though now I was sick at the time. I was crippled with arthritis. And I had been treated for migraine. First, I was notified by my GP. And I was very bad.
Mm.
God, I bet my head off the wall with the pain. Chip work and that, you know.
Was this, do you think it might have happened because of your work in the mills, or do you think it had anything to do with the environment, the pollution, or the handling that you did?
No, I don't think, no, because I was a good worker. I say that to me own honesty.
Yeah.
I was very efficient. And that, you know, that one thing I wasn't sure of. But there was a lot of them that were.
Did you retire then at that stage, or did you go on to do something else?
I never retired.
What did you, well...
I was given it. I had it, maybe, redundantly. I was not there when they were... I was at the first time, the first part. Remember Davy Coates and all them? And Austin Boggins, all that took the redundant Sean Boggins. And I negotiated that with Mr. Kelly with them.
Okay.
And they got good redundancies that time. You were talking about $8,000 or $10,000. And Michael Honan was the personal manager. And he asked me, what was I doing? I'm staying on. I was working at the time. I am staying on. I knew that, John. You wouldn't be that foolish. Maybe I was foolish, but he said I wouldn't be that foolish. I had a little bit of sensibility. I wanted to work. I didn't want money. And to get out of work, and there's no other place I could go at nearly 60 years of age, almost.
But when it finally closed down,
yeah,
did you do anything after that?
I finished. You were on the old age pension nearly then. I was... Invalidity. I was getting from the state, social welfare and what. Never worked after that.
Yeah. Mm. And looking back at it, John, would you do that kind of work again if you were... did you think that it was work that it was tough going, or did you
it? I wish to God that it was there for my family.
Yeah.
Growing up. Because we fed our families. We reared them. Okay, we educated them. Not fairly good. We done the best we could.
And do you feel very rooted here where you live? Because, you know, this has been here for such a long time.
Well, personally speaking, I felt it very hard for myself. because Tommy verified I was a nurse child and there was some old Glendalkin, very bitter. I got that in the job. You and a bastard, what are you? I never offended anyone. I was always pleasant, I smiled. Lester thought I was sneering at them or something like that, but I smiled. Then, you look what the Irish Army is. I got that after 7 or 6 years in the army. There was that kind of bitterness that way. Not with the job, but maybe personally you, me, or because of who you are.
And did that affect you?
It did. It hurt me a lot. And still hurts me today.
Yeah.
Because I had neighbours, good neighbours, and someone might say, was that a funeral? Who's that chap there? Ah, that's Johnny Clark. He's raised with Jack Delaney up there. Not sure. But I had approached them people. I asked them to have a cup of coffee with me and like have a talk. I tell you who you are.
Mm.
And that which I knew, and Tommy knows that too. I told them who they were. Because 85% of Glendalkin itself were boarded out or nursed.
Mm.
If I was to go back in history.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my old man that reared me, he always used to say, Johnny, he's only a nurse child. But he wouldn't say he's only a nurse child.
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with me. They're all human beings.
Yeah.
And God's children, that's it.
Yeah, but you were only 3 years old when you... So, in fact...
Because I talked in the gate.
Of course.
And I remember the day I was telling Tommy that.
But you were... I mean, these were your real parents. I mean, these are the people that brought you up and looked after you. And
respectable people, and Tommy knows that too, yeah.
And so was your brother fostered out as well with you? Or
He came in the gate with me.
With you?
With me.
And what was your brother's name?
John O'Toole.
He was John O'Toole?
Yeah.
And you were?
John Clark.
And John Clark, yes.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And his people, a funny thing is, say, he's from Rathdrum County Wicklow, his parents.
Yeah.
We never met, never, the Catholic Church never gave us a ghost of a chance. The nuns never gave us a ghost of a chance. I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah.
When I was making my first Holy Communion,
yeah,
the Reverend Mother or whatever, the nun asked me, Sean, you were baptised. That's the word I was asked. God, I don't know. What is that? they were transferring me to the monastery. They were getting over it. Yeah. God, we better give you a baptism. Yeah. You go down to Clondalkin Parish, I guarantee you'll find my baptism certificate. When I was 7 years of age.
Yeah.
Baptised in Clondalkin. Now, I was born... I pardon the thunder. I know all that. I had them there. And christened in the Pro Cathedral and ended up in Church Street. A 14-year-old mother. Now we live.
Yeah. But your mother, your maternal mother, she never really came looking for you, did she? Or
she wasn't even let know who you where they had gone. They weren't told.
Yeah.
You read that every day, the history, like.
Yeah.
They weren't told.
Yeah,
like the Madeleine crisis there, you know.
It was fantastic. But do you know, when you listen to a story like that, it makes you realise the importance of your upbringing and the security that you had here.
Well, Glendalkin knows me, respect me, and I respect them.
Yeah.
Even though there was the old crowd I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They were very, very bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, John Clark, thank you for telling me your story. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
No, I know.
The 18-week strike.
19.
Was it 19-week strike?
We argue about that.
Yeah. So in that length of time that you were out, It must have been difficult with your family and yourself. I mean,
God, you know what? I ran bills. Actually, I was in the credit union that time in 66, yeah, because I joined the credit union before that. And it was one of the first 501s, my number, credit union. And I felt sad. And there were odd and blankety pain, these people, you know. And I went down and said to myself, I was five children that time. I had John, the twins, Margaret, and I think Tony or David. Like a step, you know.
Yeah.
And it was hard, it was very hard.
And your wife, what was your wife's name, by the way?
Betty, God rest her, yeah. My wife.
What was her family name?
Not Clare's. Whitlock crowd. It died to Clare, not, yeah. Poor maiden name was Clare, Betty Clare.
Yeah.
And then that was, yeah.
And so it, for Betty, it must have been pretty tough to keep.
That's what I'm talking about there.
Yeah.
There was a Friday start, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. The Minning Trust, them all, the chap out in Bray there used to come in with blankets or what that. You know, we would appreciate all this because we were paying so much a week.
Yeah.
And that's where they came, the credit union.
Yeah, I know.
And I said to myself, I'm going down, this is the word, gospel truth. I'm going to have to draw $5,000 out of the credit union. The bank wouldn't give it to me. I can tell you a story in that one. You couldn't give me, the bank would not give me, Mr. Patrick, Fitzpatrick or something. And Tommy Ginocchi was walking in there as a porter in the bank. And he came out after me and said, ah, that's great. I said, I got $3,000 out of him. In the bank.
He was on strike.
No, I don't know what he was. He got $3,000 out of the bank. Mm. And I was a member. I got nothing. No, you just joking. But the credit union, what I'd done, sorry. The credit union, I went down with Mr. Johnson and them, and they were in the credit union. Very strict. I took $5,000. And everyone that came to my hall door, wherever they were out, I paid them there and then. And respected and told them, thank you very much, but whoever want you, I'll send for you. Mm. Do you know what? You're a gentleman, Mr. Clark.
Yeah.
I cleared all bills. To the present day, I owe nothing. Thank God.